Please take your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bible tonight, and turn to Daniel. Turn to the book of Daniel. And turn to chapter 5 of Daniel. I heard a candidate for the office of president say that we're uniting rich and poor. We're uniting men and women. We're uniting black, white, Latino, and Asian. We're bringing together gay and straight. Whoops. Now, up to that point, it sounded all right. But then he said, we're bringing together gay and straight. And that concerned me a great deal. Because, you see, God doesn't treat gay like Latino, black, white, like some class of society. God treats that as sin, as perversion, as that which He said that He will judge. And when you try to bring that into the political groups that you're pandering to, you are going right in the face of God, and you better watch out, Mr. Obama, when you're saying that. And then, we have had protection and safety as far as terrorism since 9/11/01, when the Twin Towers fell down, and you heard about that, and you were, no doubt, many of you remember that. Anybody here not remember 9/11? Maybe some of the young people don't. But it's been a while, hasn't it? It's been almost 7 years since that great event happened, that horrible event happened. And, God has protected us and God has watched over us. And God wants us to know that the breath we breathe, the air we breathe, the strength that we have, the protection that we have, that we don't get in car accidents or that we don't get killed like my niece did on 9/11/01 when she was killed in a car being hit at a red light. We need to realize that God is in control. And if you go to heaven tonight like John did and you see in heaven the throne of God, you see God sitting on the throne there in heaven and high-ranking angels are around His throne and they are bowing down before Him. And 24 elders, which are, I believe, high-ranking angels as well, representing the saints with the prayers of the saints, are bowing down before His throne. And the Bible says day and night they're saying, holy, holy, holy. And they're saying, you're the one that created us. You're the one that takes care of us. We know that you're in control. And they're very powerful beings, much more powerful than we are. They've lived a lot longer than we have. And yet they acknowledge God and how great God is and how foolish it is when we don't recognize that. And we saw that when Israel was defeated, that the people that were not God's people, called Gentiles, the nations are called Gentiles, that they don't like to acknowledge God's in control. But we found out in chapter 1, God's in control of our plans. We found out in chapter 2, God's in control of the powers of empires of the world. We found out in chapter 3 that God's in control of any punishment that might be tried to be inflicted upon us. And we found out in chapter 4 that God's in control of Gentile pride and He's able to humble the pride. And here today, as we look at Daniel chapter 5, and I'd like you to turn there, we see that God is in control of Gentile protection. We like to feel secure and protected. And the country that we're going to look at in Daniel 5, they were secure in their defenses. They thought nothing could harm them. They thought they were safe from anything. They had never seen, many of these people, any kind of 9/11. They never saw any invasion that was successful. It shocked a lot of people when the Twin Towers came down in 9/11. A lot of people hadn't seen anything like that since December in 1941 when Pearl Harbor took place, but that was in Hawaii. This was on the U.S. mainland, and it shook some people up, and it got some people's attention, and people in the government sang God Bless America. They haven't sang that for a long time in Congress, but they were thinking about it then. And tonight we need to remember that these people that we're looking at, they did not realize that God was in control. And I wonder tonight, what are some things that give us security? What gives us a sense of protection and safety? What are some things that, that make us feel secure? One of the young men, Ty? Well, you're giving a right answer there. That is the best thing to be able to say, what Ty just said. I guess maybe another way to put that would be, what do people think that really don't think so much about God, or maybe they do think about God, but what are some things that give us a sense of security without thinking about God in it necessarily? What are some things we feel secure with? Kim? All right. Having a strong military. Yes, you're absolutely right. Our military, and we have a strong military. We feel like that gives us security if we have a good military. And I'm for having a good military. I believe you should have a good military, and people that are in power should believe in that military. But sometimes people think of that instead of God. You know that the military is going to protect them. What else? Yes. A good leader, a presidential leader that can take care of them. And if you have a good leader, you feel pretty secure in that. Well, go ahead, Ty. Okay. All right. And you could go on. You could say money in the bank. If you have money in the bank or savings, or you have things saved up so you feel like you're pretty well taken care of. And we have these things that we depend upon. And we talked about Nebuchadnezzar and how God had dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar finally died on October the 7th, 562 B.C. He died. And there were three men that came after him that took over Babylon. And they were only there a short time. And then 556 B.C., not too long after Nebuchadnezzar died, 556 B.C., a man by the name of Nabonidus became the king. And he is the king of Babylon when we open up Daniel chapter 5 here. But it says, if you look at Daniel 5, let's look at that verse 1. It says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now, people have said, well, this isn't true. This Bible isn't true, because we know from history that in 556 B.C. at this time, a guy named Nabonidus was the king of Babylon. And so it's just not true. The Bible's not true. And that happened for quite a while, that many historians believe that it wasn't true. And then around the 1920s, there were people that made discoveries of Babylonian documents, actually earlier than that, but they began to decipher these documents in the 1920s. And lo and behold, what they found out was that Nabonidus had a son. You know what his name was? Belshazzar. And Nabonidus had some rebellious people, and he decided to go to the west with his army and invade them and bring them under his thumb. And he traveled there to the west and did that. And he left his son as temporary king. He was there for quite a while. And I guess he built a palace there. And he became the king of Arabia for a while as he conquered these Arabian peoples. And left his son Belshazzar in the place of being the king. And so here we see that that God's word is indeed true, and don't ever question God. The Bible says in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. You take God at His word and believe His word. And God is a sovereign God, and God is the one that wants to be in control, and He is in control. And anybody that tries to take over from God is foolish. So here you had this king, and the Bible says that he was having a party, and he made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And let me say something. Because God is in control, God is fed up with this kind of prideful partying. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this man, Belshazzar. He knew better than what he was doing. You see, what he did, if you'll notice there, in verse 2, follow me, it says, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubine might drink therein. And then verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And look what it says in verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. I had some friends of mine when I was a kid. We used to go to these classes that the pastor of the church that I was brought up in taught. And these kids felt like they were kids that their parents were in the church, though they thought they were like special. I was kind of an outsider in the church, you know, and I didn't feel a sense of entitlement or I was special in that church. I felt like I was kind of a visitor. They were on the in crowd of the church, you know, because their parents were the leaders in the church. They were the ones that were the people that had station and position in the church. But I remember I was appalled at these kids and some of the things they did with the communion cups and so forth to mock it, urinating and so forth, you know. And I was pretty amazed at and appalled at their attitude, and I was fearful. Now, I wasn't saved at that time, but I had a sense of respect for God and a fear at their hardness and their sense of just entitlement that we could do no wrong. And woe be to you if you have parents in the church or you go to the Christian school or you're involved and you take it for granted and you don't appreciate it and somebody else that's been saved from the outside comes in and boy, they really appreciate God, but you just take God for granted. And you know what? I see that in this man, Belshazzar. He really knew better. You know, he was about 14 years old when Nebuchadnezzar died. And he knew about God's dealing with his father, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, when we say father, it doesn't mean that he was his biological father. In the East, it was common for people to call ancestors their father. So he was a legal descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, but not a biological descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar's called his father. But nevertheless, he was familiar with God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar as a young man. And yet he actually took the vessels from the house of God and he began to drink wine out of those vessels of the house of God. And he knew about Daniel and the dream in chapter 2. And let me ask one of the guys, remember the dream that Daniel had in chapter 2? This is a question nobody will get, probably. It's a hard one. But why do you think that knowing about that dream in chapter 2 would humble him and make him aware that he needed to fear God, the God of Daniel, and the God that had humbled Nebuchadnezzar, and the God that was over these temple articles that they had taken, and they were praising their false gods and drinking wine. By the way, he was drinking himself drunk, we believe here. It was customary for the king to get on a table and be on a high raised platform and drink in front of the people. Everybody would watch him as he partied, you know. And he had all these people down there watching him party and hoop it up. And he was doing that. But knowing the dream in chapter 2, why should he have been fearful to do that? Nobody's going to get it, I don't think. But you remember in chapter 2, what was the kingdom that was going to defeat the Babylonians and take over the Babylonian kingdom. Yes, Mr. Sprague.
Persia.
Very good. He got it again. The Medo-Persians. And do you know that Belshazzar and his people knew that the Persians and the Medes were attacking? Maybe about 4 months earlier, they had taken a lot of the land area around the city of Babylon. And that's why a lot of these lords and captains were there in Babylon. And so he knew that dream, no doubt. And yet he was holding up the booze and drinking out of the vessels, and he was shaking his fist at the God of the Bible and saying, "Fooey on you. You said the Medo-Persians are going to take over. No, they're not. We are impregnable. Nobody can defeat our protections that we have up." And so he continued to party, and he knew the prophecies of the Word of God. You know, it amazes me that young people can be in a church and maybe live under the preaching of the Word of God and under the kind of prophetic teaching that we have and make light of it. Like, oh, that's just the pastor. He gets all wrapped up with prophecy, and this is somewhere far off. We're going to have peace and safety and protection, and nothing's going to happen to us. Everything is fine. Why? Because we've got food on the table. We've got a powerful military. We're the United States of America, man. We've got cars. We've got Hollywood. We got rock music. Man, we got it all. Let me tell you tonight, God is fed up with your partying, United States of America. And God is fed up with this attitude that some young people have that come out of Christian homes that have a sense of entitlement and don't have a sense that God is the one that's protecting you. And you just think, oh, you just take it for granted. Let me tell you. You could put a seatbelt on. That doesn't even protect you if God wants to get you. Amen? Nothing can protect you. The Bible says it's vain. It's vain unless the Lord keeps the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. Nothing can protect you when God is going to get you. And this individual, instead of praying to God, instead of saying, man, the prophecies that my father had and the way that God humbled him, I know about that, and I should be seeking God. No, he was boozing it up. He was drinking. And by the way, get rid of your stinking alcohol. Get rid of your drugs tonight. Get rid of your and alcohol's a drug, amen? Get rid of that junk and get yourself a Bible and get with God and get filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. That's what we need, not to be hooping it up and partying in America.
Amen.
And these people were doing that. And not only that, but to make it worse, he had the vessels, the holy vessels of God. And look what it says in verse 2. He had his princes, his wives, and his concubines that they might drink therein. Now he had wives and he had a harem of wives, but he also had concubines, and these concubines were women that were used for sexual purposes, orgies if you will, in these big parties. And that's what was going on. These women were being used as sex objects for the pleasure of these men in that situation. And what a terrible thing to be doing with God's holy vessels. You know what? God does not like the sexual immorality going on in this country. God does not like it if you're involved in watching dirty stuff on the TV or in the movies. God does not like it if you're listening to dirty words on the rock music that you're hearing and the videos that you're watching. God does not like it if you're quote-unquote dating guys and girls and you're holding hands and you're petting on top of the clothes and petting under the clothes and getting involved in sexual type sin. That is something that God does not like. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Hold your finger here and turn up to Hebrews. Go up to Hebrews. And look at chapter 13, what it says. In Hebrews 13 verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Look at that, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable and all. Listen. And the bed undefiled, talking about sex and marriage, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. This country is turning young ladies into nothing but whores and harlots. They're dressing like little whores and harlots. They're being taught to be used as sex objects. And we are destroying a whole generation, and their lives are being destroyed by this. And we're seeing homosexuality, bestiality, and all kinds of sinful things going on in this country. And let me tell you tonight, if you name the name of Christ, if you claim to be a child of God, you ought to get rid of the booze in your life. You ought to stay away from partying, the drinking and the partying. And how do you think these girls get these date rape drugs put in their drinks? They go and they stupidly go to a bar with some guy and they drink with him and think the guy is not out to get them, and he'll use a date rape drug if necessary. I knew a guy in school that he said to me, well, yes, he said, when a girl makes out with me, I get hot, and if she doesn't go farther, he says, I make sure she goes farther, and she's too ashamed to say anything about it. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And we're living in that kind of society now. And when a young lady accepts Jesus Christ, she needs to be protected. And you need to stay away from dating. You're not able to handle it in junior high and in high school. You should wait till you get in college and you're taught the Word of God. And you have the proper chaperoning and the proper accountability and the proper standards to handle that. But this thing going on here was making God angry, and I believe what's going on today makes people angry, and makes God's people angry, and the God of the Bible doesn't like it at all. And God is saying, hey, in the prophetic word of God, hey, judgment is coming on America. And our protection is from God. He's the one that's protected us since 9/11. I believe He gave us the president that He gave. And He gave us the protections that He's given us in this country. He's given us the vice president He's given us. And He's a great vice president, Dick Cheney. Somebody that takes very seriously protections. But I want to tell you, if we fly in the face of God and we go against God, He's going to deal with us. And listen to me tonight. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, listen, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Listen, I can't expect the unsaved to humble themselves and pray, but God's people, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to walk right with God and be pure sexually and be pure from the sins of the world and not get involved with the parties of the world and not hang around with the world's crowd, but serve God and preach the gospel. And I'm saying to you that that is when God will heal the land, when God's people get revival. And that's what we need more than anything else, because we need God's protection. God could take that away in a moment. Well, this man, he didn't think he needed God's protection. He was in an orgy, he was in a party, he was in drunkenness, he was in immorality. And that's exactly what's happened since 9/11. 9/11 happened and God said, I can do things to your country. You better wake up. You better wake up. And America went right back to drugs, went right back to partying, went right back to immorality, went right back to drinking, went right back to the old stuff that she was always involved in. The answer is God. And God gives us warnings. And He's been giving us plenty of warnings. And this, I'm just trying to say to you tonight, this man, Belshazzar, he had plenty of warnings, and yet he was very confident that everything was going to be all right for him. And he felt very secure because of the situation that he had. You said, well, why was he so secure? Well, he had in Babylon a city with an outer wall around it that was so thick that it could not be knocked down with a battering ram. It was the thickest, most powerful wall in the world of that day. There was an inner wall of the city that had ramparts with watchmen all around the wall, and anybody that would try to scale that with those watchmen up there would be killed. The wall was so thick, one of the walls, that three different chariots could ride around the whole city abreast, side by side. And there were a couple of these different walls. It was considered impregnable. It would be a suicide to try to scale that wall and get into that city. Nobody had been able to do it. You say, but wait a minute. I thought you said the Medo-Persian army was around the city. They were on the outside, and they'd been out there, and yes, that is true. Well, what about food and water? Isn't that going to run out after a while? No problem. They had enough food stocked up in that city, plus what was growing inside there, to last them, and this is according to historians, to last them for a siege of 20 years. 20 years. And see, in the ancient times, these armies, you know, would hold out for months sometime, maybe a year. And they would just starve, and they couldn't take it anymore, and they'd have to give up. Not so with Babylon. You see, this man was confident in his own protection, and he was confident in himself enough that he didn't listen to the word of God. He made a mockery of it. And what I'm trying to say to you is that God is fed up with that kind of prideful partying attitude. I believe he's fed up with it when he sees it in America. He's very much fed up with it when he sees God's people not taking these things seriously. And when we hold God in that kind of contempt, we are so foolish. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You can't be saved by working for it, but once you get saved, you should have fear and trembling and depend upon God and pray to God. I trust you're here tonight because you know we need God. You know we need Him for our physical needs. We need Him for our spiritual needs. We need Him for our families, and we need Him for our country. We need God, and we need to be praying to God. And don't you feel that tonight? Don't you sense that tonight? These people didn't. And there are so many people in this country that don't sense it. And that's why God says, listen, my people are those that need to humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray if I'm going to heal their land. And he's saying there's some conditions here for revival, and there's some conditions here if God's going to bless our land and bless this Scranton area. And that is that we get on our face and we humble ourselves before God, and we know God is in control, and we depend upon Him. And by the way, if you're here tonight, you've heard me preach on dying and going to hell, and the only thing that can save you from that is the blood that Jesus Christ shed and the Lord Jesus Himself. And not to put your faith in the Lord Jesus is such a foolish thing, because are you able to face God? Are you able to face His judgment? Without Jesus, you can't do it. And so I'm saying to you tonight that God is saying you need to turn to the Lord and put your trust in the Lord and realize that He's fed up with the prideful kind of partying atmosphere that's all around us in this country. And secondly, because God's in control, He's not only fed up with a prideful partying attitude, He confronts this with panicking. He's able to bring panics. God's able to wake people up. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now what this is saying is, all of a sudden when he's having his orgy, when he's having his immorality like is going on all over this country, all of a sudden God had on the wall a hand, not an arm, just a hand writing a message on the wall. He just saw that hand writing on the wall appearing out of nowhere, and it wrote on the wall, right on the plaster of the wall. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 6. It says, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. He was in a panic. He was in a panic. I mean, he was afraid all of a sudden, because God had showed him, wait a minute here, I am God. You are not going to get any help from those false gods, those idols. You are making a mockery of me. You're holding your fist up to me, and I'm going to have a hand write a message to you on that wall. And the king brought in all of his astrologers and all of his counselors, and he tried to get help understanding that message. By the way, if God begins to hit our nation, no army is going to be able to help us. No smart person is going to be able to help us. No rich person is going to be able to help us. There's only one person that's going to be able to help us, and that's God Almighty. When God lets a problem happen in your life, He's able to so humble you and break you that nobody else can help you. Some of you have gone through some hard things in your life, and you say, Pastor, why does God let me go through these hard things in my life? And there just seems to be no money can help it, no effort or ability on my part can help it, nobody I know can help it, no human being can help it. Why does He let that happen in my life? I'll tell you why He lets it happen in your life. It's called the handwriting on the wall. He's telling you that you need to prepare to meet your God. You say, how do I prepare to meet my God? Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Make sure that you know the Lord. Make sure that you walk with the Lord and you have a relationship with the Lord. And then, listen, you are safe. More secure is no one ever than the loved one of the Savior. You think Daniel was all shook up? Where was Daniel, by the way? Was he invited to this party? I don't think so. Do you think the king had Daniel for his counselor? I don't think so. I don't think he was interested in Daniel. But you see, God has a way when the nation turns away from God and the nation forgets the preachers who preach the Word of God and puts them away and gets away from the, you know, even in politics, the conservatives are no longer listened to, and everybody's saying they're Ronald Reagan, and John McCain's not even close to Ronald Reagan. What I'm saying to you is that people turn away from God's principles of living, and they don't want them. But wait a minute, God says, wait a minute, I am still in control and my principles still apply. And so I am able to give you a panic. And when I give you a panic, what do people have? Panic attacks. I've got a panic attack. You know what a panic attack is? What it is it's telling us that we need to build our life upon the foundation of prayer and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Even God's people, we can get a horizontal thing going here where we have friends and all, we have a good friendship here and everything's going good in the church, you know. But wait a minute, our foundation better be in God, not in one another. Not just in our family, not just in our church family. It better be in a relationship with God that's solid and a faith that's rooted in the Lord. Because, you see, if that's where your faith is, you are on a solid foundation and you will have the peace of God when the storms come. You'll have the peace of God. But if you don't, you see, God is going to be fed up with His prideful party attitude, and God is also going to deal with you by putting you into panic. And that's what this guy was. He was in a panic, and his knees were knocking together. He was like, oh, he was all shook up. He was drinking. He was had a buzz on, no doubt. He was getting drunk. I think he got sober awful quick. Like, sobered up. Suddenly, the fun that he was having with the females didn't seem so exciting anymore. Because now God is dealing with it. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happens. It's time to wise up. It's time to get out of sin. It's time to walk with God today and stop playing around with sin, because it's not going to seem fun when God judges it. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You messing around with boys, you messing around with girls, God's going to deal with that. Get away from that. You say, well, where is that supposed to be? You wait till you get older and you get married. Period. I don't care who you are tonight. God will deal with it. And then I want to say one more thing here, that where was Daniel? And I want you to see in verse 10 what happened. Look at verse 10. We'll finish up with this one. It says, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Why? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now, what's he saying here? She's saying, who was this lady, by the way? She was the queen. That doesn't mean she was the wife of Belshazzar. She was the queen mother. And more than likely, she was the wife of his father, Nabonidus. And she also, more than likely, was the wife of Nebuchadnezzar, because it was common for kings, when they took over kingdoms, to marry the widows of the former kings. And so it's very possible that she was the wife of Nebuchadnezzar as well. She was a highly respected older woman. She was not in this party. She got into the party when they were in a panic. Maybe you have a parent or a grandparent or somebody that you respect, or a friend that's older that you respect, or a pastor and you respect that. And when you have problems in your life, you want to talk to this pastor or this parent or this grandparent because you respect them. Let me say something to you. Don't wait till you get in a crisis, though, before you get to those respected people. Do it before then, because this man, he waited too long. He waited too long. We're going to find that out. He waited too long. He should have learned and he should have listened to what he had. And I'm afraid that there could be some young people here that, or maybe not here in this room, but young people that have been brought up in this church and have been in our Christian school that are not here tonight, that are not here on Sundays like they ought to be, that are not walking with God. They're hanging with the world's crowd. They're dressing like the world. They're listening to the world's music. They're hanging out the world's parties and getting involved in the sex and uncleanness and the filth out there that'll destroy their lives. And they're waiting until it's too long, until it's too late. And that's what this guy did. And this lady, she knew the answer. And she said, I've got the answer. And I know somebody that has the answer. And so the preacher was brought in. The prophet of God was brought in to have the message that was needed, you see. And he did have the answer from the Word of God. But the sad thing was that people were not listening. I thank God when I see people in this church that are coming to Sunday school and you are listening to Sunday school teacher, Brother Greg or Brother Bob or Brother Joe or my wife or whoever's teaching, Brother Mark, that you are coming to this church and you are, some of you want to go to the Christian school and learn God's ways, and not just go to a Christian school, but to live for God and pray to Him and walk with God and read your Bible and witness. I hope that's what's going on, because the best thing that you can do is don't wait till everybody gets in a panic, because I'm going to tell you tonight, there's going to be a day, it may happen in 2008, there's going to be a panic. People are going to be, they're going to be in a panic and they'll be having panic attacks. But if you're walking with God, you've got nothing to fear. No more than Daniel did. He was not afraid. By the way, Daniel survived all this. Daniel went through all this. And Daniel came out on the other side. And you're going to see what happened to Daniel. But he came out. Why? Because he walked with God. You walk with God and you can have peace. You walk with God and you can have protection. You walk with God and you are invincible and impregnable until your time is done. And then, who cares? It's time to go to another place. That's all. But tonight, God is sovereign over any kind of protection that you set up that can keep you out of hell. There's nothing that, listen to me, there's nothing you can do to keep you out of hell. You can have the best vitamins, you can eat the best food, you can keep safe and wear your seatbelt. And I'm telling you, unless you accept Jesus Christ now, you're still going to die and go to hell, and you'll be there forever and ever and ever, and you'll remember this message and you'll say, why didn't I accept the Lord? Why didn't I turn to the Lord? Why didn't I? And the sad thing is, there'll be kids maybe that were in our church or in our Christian school that will die and go to hell likewise, and they'll say, why didn't I? Why didn't I build my faith on Christ? Why didn't I profess Christ? Why did I not really believe in my heart, and therefore why did I side with the world and party with the world and go along with the world? I'll tell you why. Because you put your confidence in the world. It's either put your confidence in the Word or in the world. You make your choice. Choose. But I'm going to tell you, God is sovereign. He can take down all these things that we think are impregnable. All these things, He can rip them away. And some of you, He may be ripping things out of your life right now. And things are happening in your life right now that are bad. And He is being merciful to you. He is giving you an opportunity to turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. And if you haven't done that, you better do that tonight, because you may not get another chance. This man got no more chances. His chances were up, as we're going to see. Don't wait. Do that today. And child of God, if you are a Christian, don't build your life on your social life. Don't build your life on your fun. And don't build your life on just a horizontal life. Build your life in God and in His Word and in relationship with God. And listen, not one day goes by but I realize I need prayer. One day goes by but I realize I need the Word of God. Not one day goes by but I realize I need to confess sin and check my life out and make sure that I'm not straying away from God. Why? Because it's so easy to get sidetracked. And we need Him every day. We need the Lord every day of our lives. I'm going to say this. Don't wait for the crisis to come. Be walking with God today. Right now, because God is sovereign over anything that you could have to protect yourself. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If you died, listen, and you had to stand before God, are you sure that you'd get into heaven? If you're not tonight, you need to be saved. You need to be sure you're saved. Because I'll tell you what, there's no way you're going to stand before God unless you're saved by Jesus Christ. And you need to run to Him and you need to accept Him. And I just listen to me tonight. I want everybody listening, nobody talking right now. I want you to know that God is giving you a warning right now. He's not writing with a handwriting on the wall tonight. He's giving you something this man had when he was younger. He's giving you the message of faith, that put your faith in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Accept Him as your Savior and you'll be saved. Some of you have heard that before, but you've not taken it to heart. And tonight, you need to be saved. Now listen, right where you are, if you're not 100% sure that you would go to heaven if you died right tonight, I want you to call upon the Lord to be your personal Savior right where you are in your seat. You just tell the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I believe You died and rose again. I put my faith in You to wash my sins away. Would you pray that right now? God commands you to do it. And He says, if you don't do it, you may not get one more chance. This may be your last chance tonight to be saved. Would you tell Jesus, I want to be saved, Lord, save me. I wonder, tonight with our heads bowed, somebody say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I asked the Lord to be my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand? I called upon Him to save me. All right? All right? All right. All right. All right. Amen. You may put them down. Listen to me tonight. Today is January the 30th, 2008. That is the best decision and the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. And I tell you, I remember a guy I told this to, and he did not accept it. And the next time I saw him, I did not see him alive. I saw, listen to me, I saw his, he was 21 years old. I saw his brains scattered all over a bedroom, and I had to clean up his brains off the walls. I had to mop the blood off the floor while his mom and his dad were downstairs crying. Listen to me. Don't put it off. And thank God if you called upon the Lord tonight to be your Savior. And I want to encourage you to make that a public thing, to let others know, to let someone know that you accepted Him, because He wants us to confess Him before men. Once we accept Him in our heart, you let others know that you've accepted Him. I want to say one more thing tonight. Some of you are saved already, but you have not been walking close to God as you ought. You've not been building on that solid foundation of, like it says in 2 Chronicles, my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You've not been drawn near to God as you ought, that He might draw near to you. And you say, preacher, I need to walk in a closer walk with Him, that I might be ready for anything and everything that comes. I've had too much worry and too much panic in my life, and I need the peace of God. Would you pray for me? I'm talking to you as a child of God. Would you raise your hand and say, that's my life. I need that tonight. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight for bringing us here and giving us the Word of God. For, Lord, we know Your Word lives. And it doesn't matter if it's 500 B.C. or if it's 2008 A.D. It's for us. And Lord, I pray that we would apply it. I pray for those tonight who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, You'd help them now to grow. You'd help them to get baptized. You'd help them to become part of a church. You'd help them to keep studying Your Word and understanding it and growing in their understanding and their faith. Lord, help them. And help Your people who are already saved tonight, that they may grow spiritually and get stronger spiritually, we pray. And Lord, we pray for You to help them to have peace and joy and just that confidence that You're in control, so that when the world is all panicking, Lord, we might have peace, and that it might rebuke the world as Daniel did and as the Queen Mother did. Lord, we pray that we might have that and not be like that crowd that it's too late for them. Help us to be prepared. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.